From the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
Right now on KPIX 5 and streaming on CBSN Bay Area, as the new variant spreads, concern grows. But tonight, why experts are hoping it might not be as bad as we think.
I'm Sean Chitness at SFO. With new travel restrictions starting this week, the details on stricter testing before you can come back home.
Plus, a San Francisco restaurant backtracking tonight after it asked police to leave without their lunch. Thanks for joining us. I'm Brian Hackney. Tonight, the spread of the Omicron variant is creating widespread concern, but public health officials say there is some evidence it might not be as bad as the Delta variety. KPIX 5 reporter Devin Feely explains.
Despite grave initial concerns about the new strain of the coronavirus, infectious disease experts say the emerging evidence strongly suggests that while Omicron may spread more readily, it appears to make people less sick.
What we're learning is that it likely makes people less sick and it's more mild. And even when they're in the hospital, it's more mild. They're not on oxygen. A lot of them were actually admitted just out of concern that they had the new variant.
UCSF infectious disease expert Dr. Monica Gandhi says it also appears that the vaccines have largely retained their effectiveness in the face of this newly emergent strain of the virus, with most vaccinated people experiencing few to no symptoms.
Even those concerns are dissipating. Really, those who are vaccinated and come down with Omicron either have no symptoms or very mild symptoms.
Fearing a new strain of the virus that spread easily, made people severely sick, and rendered the vaccines ineffective, the Biden administration implemented a travel ban for South Africa and seven other neighboring countries and imposed testing requirements on international travelers. Dr. Gandhi says it may be time to rethink that policy, given new information about Omicron, as well as the discovery of cases right here in the U.S., including several in the Bay Area.
The concern, hopefully, in everyone's mind should be receding as we see that, in a way, it's going exactly the direction that we would ever want from a variant, less virulent and not less causing more mild disease and not breaking through the vaccines is pretty much a good variant.
Dr. Gandhi says the scientific community is still evaluating some recent research suggesting Omicron may have picked up some genetic material somehow from one of the viruses that causes the common cold. The bigger takeaway, she says, is that the vaccines still work, still offer protection against this pesky virus and the pandemic. Devin Feely, KPIX 5.
Meanwhile, at least 16 states have now identified cases of the new variant. In a live look at SFO, in just a few hours, we'll be seeing some tougher travel restrictions when it comes to getting into the U.S. And it's at the airport where we find KPIX 5 reporter Sean Chitness with more on how travelers are getting ready for the new requirement. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Brian. Well, they only learned about this just a couple days ago when it was announced. They are clearly aware of it, though, as we were talking to travelers here at SFO today. They just don't know exactly how they're going to change their plans to meet the requirement. Now you need to be able to show proof of a negative COVID test one calendar day before your flight leaves. And while that is certainly an inconvenience for travelers, they say it is not going to change their plans. Travelers getting ready to head out of the country for the holidays were frustrated knowing that when they come back, there will be stricter testing requirements to re-enter the U.S.
Definitely another challenge that's coming up in the way for travelers.
Whether traveling to Pakistan or Nigeria, travelers already knew this change was coming, but still hadn't figured out exactly how they will get tested in time.
The reason we are vaccinated is to be able to travel and go to places so it can keep us safe.
The new policy requires a negative test result within one calendar day of a flight into the U.S., regardless of your vaccination status.
It's adding a lot more stress, I mean, especially for you know, who's traveling for business like me.
Especially stressful for those who had just started getting back to meeting face-to-face with clients.
Some of those meetings is a lot more effective, especially the first time, to do it in person. And, you know, having these restrictions is very frustrating.
The requirement for a negative test result starts this week, regardless of what country you're leaving. But the Surgeon General stood by the restrictions previously announced on travel from countries in southern Africa to the U.S., not saying when the ban could be lifted.
These are meant to be temporary measures. Nobody wants them to be on for any longer than they need to be, and that's why we're continuously reevaluating them so that we can get them off as soon as it's appropriate.
Well, now you got to go through all the steps, but that's not going to stop me from traveling.
As travelers start looking at options for where to get tested so close to their flight time, they remain committed to their plans to see loved ones abroad.
Family's family, so sometimes you just got to be there, you have to make those expenses.
And when we're talking about expenses, that certainly could be a more pricey test to get that at the last minute, even at the airport, to meet this requirement. And then if you test positive, we're talking about a new flight and potentially a new place to stay so you can isolate. The White House did also announce with this restriction that they're going to continue the mask mandate until March of next year. Brian?
Well, Sean, so what are the experts saying about what travelers can do to prepare for the changing requirements?
Well, they say this is just another example of the uncertainty that we are dealing with, and that's why you want to consider travel insurance. We're also being told that you might be able to get that test reimbursed, so it's worth checking with your health insurance to see which ones they will qualify for that reimbursement.
Okay. At SFO tonight, that is Sean Chitna. Sean, thank you. And by the way, stick with KPIX 5 for continuing coverage on the coronavirus and for more information on the vaccines or how to find the booster shots, you can check our guide on kpix.com. Well, this evening, a San Francisco restaurant is now apologizing after workers asked three uniformed police officers to leave the restaurant. This happened on Friday at Hilda and Jesse. The officers were in uniform. They were carrying their service weapons when they stopped by for lunch. But instead of taking their order, employees asked the police to leave. Restaurant owners addressed the situation on social media yesterday, saying their business is a, quote, safe place, and that the workers felt uncomfortable with the officers' service weapons. For his part, San Francisco Police Chief Bill Scott said that San Francisco Police stands for safety with respect, even when it means respecting wishes that our officers and I find discouraging and personally disappointing. And so today, the restaurant issued another statement, saying, in part, we made a mistake. We apologize for the unfortunate incident. We are grateful to all members of the force who work hard to keep us safe, and we hope this will be a teachable moment for us as we repair and continue to build bridges with SFPD. By the way, we contacted SFPD as well as the city for comment, but we haven't heard back. And since we're on the subject of lunch, police in Napa are looking for a Dine and Dash suspect. Officers say this man, Shane Kahn, has been seen eating at several restaurants across town, but when the bill comes out, he sneaks out without paying. And if you see him or if you have any information on him, Napa police would sure like to hear from you. Police in Santa Rosa asking for the public's help in identifying a suspect involved in a shooting late last night. Happened on Sebastopol Road about 9 o'clock. Officers found a man who had been shot several times, taken to the hospital. He is in critical condition tonight, but doctors say he is expected to survive. Witnesses say the suspect is a man driving a silver sedan, and if you have any information about the incident, you're asked to contact Santa Rosa police. In San Francisco, people of all ages are now taking Filipino martial arts classes at Capua Gardens. Kids taking anti-bullying classes can learn to pay attention to their surroundings, and adults can learn how to defend themselves from a knife attack. After all these days, that knowledge just might come in handy.
Don't get that normalcy bias of thinking that you will never be attacked, because we never know what's going to happen. The world is a crazy place, and you just never know what's going to happen. Nothing's guaranteed.
Well, that's for sure. The teacher says it's important to teach young kids how to tell people to back off. This month, the Gardens will be hosting the classes once a week, and the folks there say that those classes will help raise funds for the community garden. Other news tonight, Caltrans has officially reopened the highway this morning after finishing a bridge demolition project on the old connector ramp. We're talking about I-80, by the way. That connector ramp from State Route 12. Both directions on 80 were closed overnight. It all began at 11 o'clock last night, but it's all wrapped up. Here's a new video of the King tides that returned to the Bay Area the past couple of days. Tides were up about 2 feet higher than average, and this happens often during the solstice season. Phase of the moon is also a factor. Experts say that climate change coupled with sea level rise could make today's King tides regular high tide one day. A new video out of Union City tonight. Somebody was stabbing a pumped-up Christmas decoration. You'll see it all on video here. Happened in broad daylight on Appian Way. What he is thinking, we have no idea. You can see somebody quickly running out of a minivan, tackled the inflatable dragon, person stabbed the decoration, and then ran back to the car. A report has been filed with the Union City Police. Happier news, families in Piedmont are celebrating the eighth day of Hanukkah tonight. City is hosting a community event filled with things for everybody. The kids are spending time playing with dreidels and coloring books, and parents are dancing with their kids to all the music out there. Family members say, great show. For their traditions, spend time with their community and all of the things that this season is. And live to the U.S. Capitol tonight, flags are flying at half staff in honor of former war hero and U.S. Senator Bob Dole. Died today at the age of 98 after a battle with stage 4 lung cancer. Reporter Nicole Killian has more on Mr. Dole's life and legacy in American politics.
In the prime of his life, Bob Dole was one of America's most well-known Republican politicians, a World War II hero who wanted to become president. In a life filled with adversities, political and personal, Dole often turned to humor, even in the face of a government shutdown.
You ought to close this down, open up the zoo. But if you can't get into the zoo, this may be the next best choice.
Robert Joseph Dole was born in Russell, Kansas in 1923. His family was hit hard by the Depression. To save their home, Dole's father moved everyone into the basement, renting out the upper floors. Dole embodied the greatest generation, a combat veteran who was wounded just before the end of war, his right arm paralyzed. The injury and four-year recuperation dashed his dreams of becoming a doctor, so he went to law school, which led to politics. Dole was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives in 1960, and 8 years later to the Senate.
I just listened to the President of the United States, and I must say, I don't know who gives him advice, but I don't think he's telling the American people the truth.
After two failed bids to become the GOP presidential nominee, Dole left the Senate in 1996 for one final push.
And my time to leave this office has come, and I will seek the presidency with nothing to fall back on but the judgment of the people, and nowhere to go but the White House or home.
He won the Republican nomination, but lost the election in a landslide to Bill Clinton. After his defeat, Dole became a fixture on late-night TV and even a Viagra pitchman. He returned to Washington when his wife Elizabeth was elected to the U.S. Senate from North Carolina. He never stopped fighting for his causes, championing humanitarian issues and winning the World Food Prize in 2008 for combating hunger. His one-time political rival awarded him the nation's highest civilian honor. And in 2018, Dole's former colleagues gave him their highest recognition, the Congressional Gold Medal. Later that year, Dole paid tribute to President George H.W. Bush, one American patriot to another. Nicole Killian, CBS News.
Also in our nation's capital, something that has not happened in at least 5 years. President Joe Biden and the First Lady are attending the annual Kennedy Center Honors, something that former President Trump skipped during his term. Tonight's honorees include Motown Records creator Berry Gordon, Saturday Night Live producer Lorne Michaels, actress Bette Midler, opera singer Justino Diaz, and folk music musician Joni Mitchell. Biden also reinstated the traditional White House ceremony for the honorees after it was canceled by Mr. Trump. And also new at 6, Oakland's skating community is pushing for a rolling skating rink or a roller skating space to be built. They held an event today hoping to get the word out. Hundreds of skaters rolled up to the park in Oakland this afternoon, many of them showing off their dance moves. They skated around with friends, and there is a growing roller skating community in the city. But not a lot of places to skate, so a group called Panther Skate Plaza is advocating for a safe space to roller skate in.
There are a lot of spaces in Oakland that are underused.
You got it, you got it.
Four game tennis courts that are in disrepair. And we have right over here close to 20,000 square feet of a tennis court that can recreate 12 people at a time.
So the groups also started petitions to send to Oakland City Council. For now, we appreciate you watching. 60 Minutes is next. We'll see you back here at 11 o'clock tonight. Until then, the news does continue on KPIX.com. For now, good night, and we'll see you at 11.